The Fan.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
We can't start winning until we stop losing.
Wilson has it second and four from the Vikings 19 out of the shotgun. Two receivers left and right. Homer to his left. Wilson sacked four times tonight. Loops it. End zone. Caught. Touchdown. It's Will Disley behind Eric Wilson. And the favored Seahawks strike. 19-yard touchdown. Wilson to Disley. And it's 13-6. Second and eight. Wilson from the shotgun passes to the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. DK Metcalf. Front center of the end zone, DK Metcalf with his fourth touchdown this season, and the game is tied at 13 with 8:19 to go in the third quarter.
But I will go down with this shit.
No!
And I won't put my hands up and surrender.
You've got to be kidding me.
Cousins on first down, goes play action, rolls out to the right, throws right, intercepted KJ Wright. What a lazy, awful pass by Kirk Cousins. And the Seattle Seahawks have taken it away from Kirk, and they're deep in Vikings territory, leading 14-13. I have absolutely no idea why Kirk threw that pass to Jefferson so lazily. It deserved to be picked off.
We said it was going to be a tough guy game. And in a tough guy game, playoff football in December, you got to execute. And you can't leave plays on the field.
I will go down with this shit.
I'm pulling my tickets.
I won't put my hands up.
I can't take this anymore.
There will be no white flag above my door.
Sorry, K-Fair.
I'm in love.
On first down off the turnover, handoff goes to Chris Carson, room up the middle, 25-20, shakes the tackle at the 10, touchdown. Chris Carson with a rushing touchdown from 29, and Seattle has outscored Minnesota 20-0 in the first 7 minutes of the second half. What is happening?
All this negativity that's in this town sucks.
Disease.
There will be no white flag above my.
You're idiot.
I'm in love. No way.
26-21 Minnesota out of the 2 minute warning. It is fourth and inches from the Seattle 5 yard line, and the Vikings are going for it. I formation behind Cousins, two tight ends right. The tailback is Madison, CJ Ham in front of him. They take the snap, hand off Madison, and he's hit right at the line of scrimmage, and on fourth and short, the line judge says he did not get it. Fourth down for Seattle, fourth and 10 from its own 23. Vikings stop them here, and we win. Wilson, shotgun, Harrison Smith shows blitz, backs off. Russell with a deep shot to the left side, caught DK Metcalf at the Vikings 40. Cam Dantzler, what are you doing? Fourth and goal from the 6 for Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Snap. Wilson, deep drop, center of the end zone! Is it? Caught! Touchdown, Seattle! DK Metcalf, unbelievable catch with Anthony Harris all over him! It's 27-26 Seattle with 15 seconds to go in the game. You've got to be kidding me.
Nope.
I will go down with this.
Cam Dantzler, what are you doing?
My hands up. And surrender. There will be no white flag above my door. I'm in love and always will be.
truly a great piece of bumper music. And, you know, you stumbled upon it accidentally all those years ago. You were wandering around in the anteroom, in the hallways, and in the overhead. I'm assuming it sounds Cities 97.
It's on like, Cities 97, yes.
I don't think you were going to find it on K10. You know that country and western station, Toby Keith? Don't think you'd find it there. Certainly wouldn't find it on Cool 108. The crackpot conservative station, it wouldn't be there either.
We're about a decade away from it being on Cool 108.
So that would have left it up to either KDWB 63 or Cities 97, and it's got more of a city's flavor to it. And it really it's appropriate at any time that you're still trying to find that light switch. You think that there's still some hope, but much like the Tenor Fitzgerald, I think the Viking season has turned in from a search and rescue mission to a recovery. After last night, today will be a day where I think the theme will be, what camp are you in? We're going to talk camps today, Tenneby, because that seems to be, ever since late last night, that's been the topic. What camp are you in, Tenneby? And I'm going to ask you right away, so we know right out of the gate, so there's no guessing or there's no thinking. Hoping, wishing, thinking, hope. You would, when it comes to your golf ball, you two-piece or three-piece golf ball?
A what?
A two-piece golf ball or a three-piece golf ball? Are you Sirlin cut or Bellotta? That's the camp that, isn't that what everybody's been talking about since last night? I think Sirlin covered or Bellotta covered golf balls. Are you a Zebco 202 guy or a Zebco 404 guy? The 202 is the original, not quite as fancy pants as the 404. Are you a 12-gauge shotgun guy or a 20-gauge shotgun guy? It's split families apart, Hatfields and their boys. Let me ask you this. Your fishing boat, are you a Crestliner or a Lumacraft? Are you a dog guy or a cat guy? Are you a Pheasants Forever guy or a Ducks Unlimited guy? You a BMW guy or a Ford guy? You know, Ford doesn't really make a bad car. There, it seems as though you have to be in a camp. We've yes. talked about this. I don't think you do. Now, in some cases, you have to. I mean, you're either your four kids or you're against stadiums, right? Or four kids and against stadiums. Or you're against kids in four stadiums. I guess you can be both. I've transitioned. I went from when they were discussing building both stadiums, the goose that laid the golden egg and the goose that laid the golden egg 2.0. The original was Target, what we affectionately call the goose that laid the golden egg. At first, I was four kids and against the stadium because there was either a city council person or a legislator who said, if you're for the stadium, you're against kids. I don't know if we were doing the preposterous statement back then. If we were, I don't know if that was nominated, but it's preposterous because just because you're for the stadium doesn't necessarily mean you're against kids.
She's trying to force you into being in a camp.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're for kids, it doesn't necessarily mean you're against the stadium either. But for the longest time, I was for kids and against the stadium. Then I was for the stadium and against kids. Then I was against both. I didn't like kids or the stadium. And then I finally realized the world's big enough for both. We can have a stadium. We can be in favor of stadiums. We can like stadiums and like kids. And I like them both right now. I really do. My favorite still was, and I guess I owe an apology to Lester Bagley. Lester Bagley, of course, was the guy that was at the forefront of the new stadium negotiations. And if you'll remember, they came up with the idea: electronic poll tabs will pay for the public share. And if you remember, I think electronic poll tabs now are the biggest source of income in the entire world. It generates more money than most third world countries do. But at first, it was awful. It was not, nobody was playing video pull tabs. Mm-hmm. I think like the first year it made like $4.50. $4.50 was all it made. So then over at Rush Creek at the Vikings charity golf tournament, rain delay, we all came in and Lester said, hey, I'll buy everybody a drink. Vikings will buy everybody whatever you have. And it was at that point I said, Lester, why don't you just keep my money and put it towards the pull tab shortfall? Which got a big guffaw from those in attendance. They loved it. And Lester took well. If you remember, there was a City Pages piece on Lester one time. The first time I really ever got to know Lester was when he said his favorite on-air personality was the common man. Because he said he thinks he's just like a stand-up comedian. He loved me. Lester and I got a good vibe. I'm for Lester and I'm against electronic. No, I'm for electronic bulletins.
Yeah.
I'm for both, actually. But are you for going for the first down last night, or were you for kicking a field goal and making it an 8-point lead?
Well, I will preface this by saying, because it appears on social media and people calling on the Vikings fan line, that we're only hearing from the extremes, that it's 100% you go for it or 100%.
Right.
Whereas there is a little gray area. As it was happening, I'm going, man, this is a tough decision.
I thought exactly.
I was battling it back and forth. I'm like, what would I do? Ultimately, in the 40 seconds you're allotted, my decision was, I don't want 2020 MVP Russell Wilson getting the ball back. So I'm going to go for it here against a defense. You're destroying them right now. They're one of the worst defenses in football. Our running game has been unbelievable this game. I'm going to go ahead and try to get the half yard and make sure Russell Wilson doesn't touch the ball. So I thought Mike Zimmer, he made the decision I would have made.
I'm with you. And while I'm sure there are extenuating circumstances in which I wouldn't, and that was one of them, I guess, where you could say 8-point lead means not only do they have to score a touchdown, and they'd have to probably march 75 yards rather than 93, because
not as far.
Probably kick it out of the end zone and you start at the 25.
Yeah.
But then you also have to convert the 2-point conversion, which isn't always easy. So you actually have to score twice, and that just gets you into overtime. So I get the logic. I could make an argument for that. But what the coach said, he said into the headset of Kubiak, I'm with 100%. I didn't come here, let's just try to get in and see. No, I'm going to win the game right now. Let's turn this thing around right now. It means everything to me right now, this magic moment, right here and now. It means everything. I want to win the game right now. That's why I've always been if I can kick an extra point to tie the game with 4 seconds to go, I go for the 2-point conversion. I want to win the game. Why would I want to tie it and then go through the machinations of a coin toss, maybe losing that? Then you got to go all these plays and all these different scenarios. When once you get to overtime, what do you want to do? You want to be on the goal line, knocking on the door to win the game. So I'm there now. I can bypass all that other stuff, and if I lose, I lose. I get it. If I, I read a piece, I think it might have been an NFL.com. We'll talk about that other side of the break. We're up against the break. We want to try to give away some money. I can, like I say, make an argument either way, but I stand by the decision to win the game. I mean, just think, Tenneby, what if you were the commanding officer at D-Day and said, weather doesn't seem real good. You know, there's the enemy's hidden all over once we hit the beach at Normandy. Maybe we should just pass up. We'll try to give away some money. Tenneby, do you have a keyword here in the early going to try
I
to
do,
put a grand in somebody's hand?
Yeah, the Phantom Wicks and Jewelers want to give you a shot to put a grand in your hand with our National Cash Contest. Just text the keyword family. The 200-200 to enter that keyword is family. Text it to 200-200. Standard text message and data rates apply.
Hey, Common here for 1-800-GOT-JOE.
The Fan.
Lunchtime Hour on the Grum is brought to you by Carboni's Pizza. Ooh.
Better bigger than I even thought.
I'm falling faster and faster and faster with no time to stall.
Right to the bottom of the NFC North standings.
The closer
you get to winning,
the further you fall.
Alabama, Tennessee, Gary Owens, and all of his pals. I don't know any other members. The only member of the Alabama I know is frontman, Gary Owens. It's the only one I know. He also, his career actually started, he was the announcer of the Laughing Show, Gary Owens. Great career. You go to the comment boards, people. I mean, I guess it means you're invested. You're full. There are people that are fully invested. I mean, I think there are people that their entire, I don't want to say their entire life, their entire lives now are in shambles, but there are people that certainly this is not a, matter of fact, for them, they're probably going, this ain't a purple Monday, it's a blue Monday. It's a blue-purple Monday, right? Because I would think most Viking fans are blue. It's true. I don't think it was an exaggeration that had they won that game last night, you go to 2-3 with an extra wild card, anything can happen, right? And you beat a team, a quality team like Seattle on the road and winning on the road this year with the invisible enemy all across the world. It's not like winning on the road. Collinsworth a couple of times wanting to have the second day's take on the first day was going, I guarantee you, if there's a crowd there, Mike Zimmer doesn't go for it here. I'm not necessarily sure. You know, I get it that if the crowd's louder, it fires up the defense a little bit, but I don't think it has an impact. It could impact the play, I guess. You can't hear, you get a false start, but I don't think it impacts the decision the coach made. There are people that think it's a fireable offense. They think that, well, and I think it's people that have never, for some reason, liked him as a coach. Well, whatever reason that is it the losing record to teams with a 600 winning percentage or greater, and most of your wins come with a winning percentage against teams that are 400 or worse. You know, in other words, you're beating bad teams and losing to good teams. They've beaten some good teams over the years, and they've lost to some bad teams over the years. I like to win the game. I saw people pointing to it. If we weren't chasing points earlier, remember when it was 21-19, we decided to go for two?
Yes.
Well, I would have gone for two after that first touchdown. In other words, we would have been up 14-0 had it been me. If we convert, you got to convert the two-point conversion as well. Is Mike Tomlin still going for the two-point conversion every time? I bet he gave that up. I know a year or two ago, I think he started the season going for two almost. The object of the game is to score as many points as you can, and so I'd like to score as many as I can.
Well, Philadelphia went for two yesterday against Pittsburgh in a situation that no other coach goes for two. It's kind of one, like it was like a weird number where.
Okay. Did they get it?
Yes.
Yeah. I just want to score as many points as I can, and I want to end games as quickly as I can. And I don't know how many people would fit into this category, but I bet they're out there, Tennessee. The people that, had it been successful, had they picked up the first down and iced the game, would have been great call, gutsy call.
Yep.
Love what the coach did there. Not everybody. There were. I would hope that those that want the coach fired or think it was a bad decision, I hope had it worked, they'd have said, well, that's not what I would have done.
Well, the same thing is, let's say they kick the field goal.
Right.
And Seattle comes down, gets the touchdown, gets the two-point conversion, beats you in overtime. How many people would be going, you've got a half yard correct. To win the game and not give Russell Wilson the ball. Correct. How do you not go
correct.
For it there?
That's right? Exactly.
I mean, we
would have
heard the exact same.
You would have heard that. And It's a half yard. Make it. If you look at the replay too, I tweeted this out last night. This wasn't a second guess. I don't know why Madison, as well as he played, he was really good in relief. Maybe I should do an apology segment to Madison. There were those, including Tennessee, who said, "Well, if I think you were one of them that said, Well, yeah, if Dalvin's got to go, he's got to go. Madison's a pretty good running back. I mean, I know he's not Dalvin Cook, but he's solid. I think we'd be fine with him. I laughed at that. I mocked and ridiculed the whole idea. I said, there's a reason one guy's making $63 million over 5 years and the other guy's making $650,000. But Madison ran with a real purpose last night. He looked great. He looked like Dalvin Cook a little bit. He was knocking people down. But on that last run, and I know in the heat of the battle and you got your head down and you're trying to get a yard, but it looked like to me, couldn't you see if you just went the other side of Samia?
He said to bounce it right.
You bounce it right, yep. You probably score a touchdown.
Yep.
And he didn't bounce it right. Samia, if you drop the S and A off his jersey, it would be Maya, M-I-A, missing in action. Because he had three penalties last night, including two holding. And I think they were all at critical junctures of the football game. You're right. That's exactly what people would do. How don't you just win it there? I'm the same thing. Get a half yard. What's wrong? So,
well, the funny thing is, there's so many people. It's a polarizing topic in which there's people that are just battling it out, trying to convince each other that they're right. Wrong. And ultimately, like, the analytics would tell you, it's basically just a coin flip. Like, it's whatever decision you made, It was basically the same result in terms of your percentage to win the game.
Yeah, I'm
with you that I don't want Russell Wilson having the football.
I was born in Detroit, grew up in Coon Rapids, ABC schools. I'm a tough guy. And so tough guys go win games where we don't fear, well, what if we can't get a half yard? Now you can say, well, you're fearing Russell Wilson. I have more fear of Russ Wilson than I do of gaining a half yard. I would think I can get a half yard. Yep. I still can't believe they didn't get a half yard. You could have called a different play. Two quarterback sneak worked once earlier, though. You know, Cousins doesn't seem like a, bull. You know, it's like Ben Roethlisberger on a quarterback sneak. I got a lot of faith. He's big, strong, huge, heavy. You know, he's going to lean over Cousins, but Cousins did it.
Well, if you want to criticize the coaching, do the Cousins draw on the 2-point conversion they have.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Well, he hesitated on it too, I think. I'm not even saying it was the right call, but if you watch the replay, I don't even think Cousins was sold on it. He kind of seemed like
he always looks like that.
It looks skittish, I don't think. But yeah, what wasn't the best? You know, even in that play, if you don't want to run a quarterback sneak, there was nothing wrong with Madison. I just don't know why. They seemed to run better on the left side, but maybe they were doing a little trickery. Well, they probably expect us to go left, so we'll go right. You know, that's one of those where you could have done you have Thielen going in motion and take a direct snap, but they'd probably see that coming. But there's a lot of different options you could do there, and one of them would have been to kick a field goal. There's no guarantee to make the field goal, though, either. You know, wet, sloppy field. How about that? I mean, think of how bitter people would be if they decided to opt for the field goal and it's a poor snap or the holder, because it was raining pretty good at that point. He can't quite hang on to it, and the kick goes awry. It would have been a lot of bitterness there. You know.
No!
So,
I just love it. And I understand, you know, like when there's decisions late in games where you kind of know the butterfly effect of what happens after, that it's easy to criticize.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I've seen so many people just focused on this one play call, in which to me it's like a coin flip, virtually a coin flip,
right.
But I'm with you, I'd go the route you did. That we focus on that instead of this 5-minute stretch in the third quarter where the team absolutely imploded. I mean, they had a 13-0 lead. They were dominating the game,
correct.
And all of a sudden, it's interception, it's fumble. We're giving Seattle short fields. I mean, it was just a complete implosion of 5 minutes.
It was,
which should be the topic.
I don't like to use the word. I think the word fascinating when it comes to sports is overused. What a fascinating game! Well, I'm fascinated with Raquel Welch. She should be in 3D. 3D is my apartment number. But it was a very interesting game. It was an odd game. You know, time of possession that much in favor of the Vikings and to lose and what they did, I didn't see it coming. If you would have told me Vikings dominate the first half and have a 13-0 lead at the half against Russ Wilson and the Seahawks, I would have said, I would have bet you $100 like you did, Rosen, that the Yankees would. Oh, you pushed on that bet, didn't you?
Yeah.
So I do want to talk more about the game itself. We can field phone calls as well and get a feel for what the Tough Love Covenant, the Commonwealth, thinks. You know the numbers. Give us a call, booth@kfan.com. The Bradshaw and Bryant inbox. We'll dive into talk more specifically about some of what happened in the game as well here on The Fan.
Palmer. Tune in to hear Marty Gellner with the Power Trip Morning Show every Wednesday morning at 7:30 a.m. Thanks to our friends at Shields of Eden Prairie.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get I like the piano part best. Can you start this over again of Ooh, Child? Okay, now listen closely as we hear it. Go ahead. Now right here it goes. Den, 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 den. And then you hear just the little fingers across the keyboard. Listen right here. Don't you love that?
I do.
That's my favorite part of the song. See, that's one of the ways I talked about music and not listening to music on a golf course. If you're listening to music on a golf course, you wouldn't hear that. You wouldn't understand it. When I listen to music, I listen to music. And I've listened to this song hundreds of times, and it almost without fail, you find something else you didn't hear. Maybe it was the sound of a piano, like I just mentioned, with a little flourish of the piano. Maybe it's a xylophone. Maybe it's a harpsichord, or maybe it's a trombone effect somewhere along the line. But I'm really a big fan of Ooh, Child. Tenabia, what can't be in? Chicken fingers or chicken nuggets?
Oh, geez. I say chicken fingers.
Is it fruit snacks? Are you red or yellow?
Red.
Green's your favorite, right?
In most, yes, but I don't know about fruit snacks.
Okay. Coke or Pepsi?
Well, I'd say Diet Pepsi if I could go that route. But
Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi.
Sure, Diet Pepsi.
Well, you and I right there, that's
a divide.
There's a divide. That's Hatfield and McCoy. You're in the Diet Pepsi camp. I'm in the Diet Coke camp. Though I can do a Diet Pepsi. There is a difference, though. I could do a taste test. Oh, I absolutely could. I could tell you the difference. You don't like yucky stuff on your burger, so I guess this wouldn't apply, but Whopper or Big Mac? And, you know, I would get the Big Mac most times, but, boy, there are some times I just crave a Whopper. You know, they've been doing... Burger King's been doing the grill since 1954. They've been around.
Well, they're the king of burgers.
That's it. They're the king of burgers. How about this?
Imagine the arrogance to call yourself Burger King.
Yeah. Think about it. How about call yourself Vox? Let me ask you another one. What was it? Are you a chicken cacciatore guy or a turkey tetrazzini guy? I'm a tetrazzini because I like
love that
with
one.
Poultry. I'd rather have a white sauce than a red sauce.
I'm with you.
I don't like a red. I like a red now. Like with my pasta, I generally prefer a red sauce than a white sauce. So I can do white sauce. So many.
But what is it about fettuccine that you want a white sauce with, as opposed to a red sauce?
I don't know. That's a very good question. Maybe we've just been programmed that way. I'm programmed.
Yeah.
You know, people are programmed to...
It's all the images from the media.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Camp Ripley or Camp David? Speaking of camps, right? I mean,
yeah.
Think about it. I mean, what camp are you in?
I like both camps.
What camp are you in? Do you go for the first down there? Or do you kick the field goal, which is no guarantee either, but you attempt to kick the field goal? Only the Vikings would attempt the field goal.
That's pretty close to a guarantee. That was a chip shot.
Only the Vikings would kick a field goal and it not go in, right? Or blocked and scoop and score the other way.
I mean, we don't have a history of missing chip shot field goals in this town. I really like Blair Walsh. I think it was just really, really tough conditions. It was really cold that day.
Here's an email from the John Bryant inbox. Comfortable sweater montage. A Dido montage on Monday is like a comfortable sweater, like Brian Dunsing. And all is right with the world. It is. There's something comforting. That's why sad eyes at the end of the year. How about had they wanted, let's say the Vikings win. Let's say they pick up the first down. Madison actually runs it in for a touchdown and we win.
Yeah.
Is it nothing's going to stop us now?
Believe me, I was already thinking about it last night. I said yes, because to win on primetime against the, you know, arguably the best team in the conference, you'd be a 2-3 facing a 0-5 Atlanta Falcons team. All of a sudden, we're 500 going into Green Bay.
Yep.
You win that one, we're game out of first in the division.
Yeah, going into that game, a decided underdog. Yep. A decided underdog in last night's game. Subject line, I love it, with 8 exclamation marks. You really love something when you use 8 exclamation marks. Do you know that I keep track of exclamation marks on tweets and texts the more excited I am about them? Sometimes when I text Crackpot Conservative Maury Hamster, I have like 50 exclamation marks. I love it. I hardly ever get to listen with the new jobs a hassling, but I set up a meeting, closed the door, and tuned in just to hear the montage. Think about that, Tenneby. Thank you. The joy of reliving the loss was so worth it. It breathed. It made me laugh, cry, and almost jump from my seat like I was living it all over again. Thank you, Tenneby. The horn has been dethroned. Watching at home guy, 28 years in county. Thank you for the joy of reliving the loss. It was so worth it. It breathed. It made me laugh, cry, and almost jump from my seat like I was living it all over again. That's what you do for people, Tenneby. Don't let people think that being the montage master as the interim producer of The Grum isn't an important job. It means a lot to a lot of people.
Well, you're giving a lot of credit to me right now, and I think you deserve a lot of credit. You've changed the culture of the way Minnesotans view their sports teams. Can you imagine how miserable we'd all be if we lived and died with every result of, and you've seen what our teams have done.
Whereas right.
You've made it so that people look forward to listening after a devastating loss.
Here's another. This one says, chills. Only one exclamation mark, but still chills. Never knew I could feel chills after a devastating loss, but with that intro and Paul Allen yelling, Cam Dantzler, what are you doing? Chills. Keep up the great work. Love the shot.
Cam Dantzler, what are you doing?
I said the same thing.
Cam Dantzler, what are you doing?
I said the same thing to Deuce as we're watching the game. I go, what is he doing? And then I texted you right away. What do you think of Dantzler now? Because I think when you were doing your deep dive, you were high on Dantzler.
Yes. And I still am.
Yeah. He may be a lover, but he ain't no Dantzler helter skelter.
Can somebody explain that? I know I didn't play football at a high level. Mm-hmm. Can somebody explain to me what was going on with him on that play?
I don't know.
Because he was looking back at the ball the entire time. It wasn't one of those situations where you're covering DK Metcalf and the ball's thrown and you've got your back to the play, so you don't know where it is exactly and you lose track. He was looking back at it, yet he just kept running too far.
I thought he was going to intercept the ball. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to intercept the game, set, match. I don't know what he was thinking.
What's going on there?
I don't know. I think he got lost in the moment. And this subject line is basically, Tenneby, he does it again. Tenneby, with little sleep, still has the abilities to be the master of the montage. Never leave us. There's only one thing that makes me look forward to another Viking loss, and that's a Dido White Flag Monday. Thanks for all you do, Tenne Fitzgerald. Dan the man, listening to Dan on the Fan. Tenne, with little sleep, still has the abilities to be the master of the montage. Think about that. How much sleep did you get? What time did you get out?
I got home like 12:30.
Kids got new jobs of hassle. Kids got the flu. What time did you get up?
I got out of bed at 7, but baby woke up at 2. Baby woke up at 6. So I wouldn't say it was consistent sleep all the way through.
Tend to be with little sleep, still has the abilities to be the master of the montage. Never leave us. He says never leave us.
I always love that one.
There's only one thing that makes me look forward to another Vikings loss, and that's a Dido White Flag Monday. Thanks for all you do, Tenne Fitzgerald. Thanks for all you do. This Bud's for you. Budweiser or Miller High Life, the champagne, a bottle of beer. For me, it was Miller High Life. And not even so much because of the flavor. I just liked saying, I want a Miller High Life, the champagne, a bottle of beer. That's what I would tell. I would tell him to just go to the bartender to see if he knew. And he'd say, oh, what do you have? And I'd say, a shot of bar whiskey for me, whatever she's drinking. And I would say, I want the champagne, a bottle of beer. And sometimes they go, huh? Wait, I'll give you.
Huh?
Yeah. I'd say, I want the champagne, a bottle of beer. And then some guys would go, got it. Boom. Slide it down the old bar. Just like saying it. John, you're on the Fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Common, I was calling to talk about all the Monday morning quarterbacks that called the Purple Dinosaur today, complaining about the play calling and going for it on fourth down.
Right.
I seen it completely different. Everybody for years was complaining Zimmer's too conservative, not aggressive enough. He went for it on four fourth downs last night. Yep. I loved it. Be aggressive. My team's better than you. We're going to move the line. We're going to get the first down and win the game. Keep up the work, Zimmer. Let's keep being aggressive.
Thanks, John. Couldn't agree with him more. Couldn't agree with him more. And it's not like I'm a huge Zim guy. He's never had me to the ranch. That could change in a hurry. I hope my second wife looked like his girlfriend. But my second wife hasn't been born yet. I've been invited to the ranch, so it's not like I'm in his back pocket. I'm not an extended family member. I just like being aggressive. I keep getting the emails about the, you know, the two-point conversion. I'd go for a two-point conversion after every single touchdown, unless it was a touch, unless the extra point would win the game for me with 4 seconds left on the clock. I want to score points. I'd go for it on four. And I'm not saying I'd go for it on every fourth. If it's fourth and 26 from your own 12, no. But if I'm fourth and one from my own 38, I don't care. Yeah, I can get a yard. I can get a yard. My team should be able to. They better get a yard or they're going to hear it from me. Play aggressively. Play like you're the man. I'm the man. I'm the man. I'm the man.
Man.
I mean, just play like you're the man, for crying out loud. John, you're on the Fan. Thanks for calling.
John, or Kevin, Common.
Yes, you're John. Yeah. I'm Common.
no, just a quick thing. It's White Castle, not Burger King. I just remember after the refreshment evenings that I had, White Castle.
Yeah, all right, thanks. Yeah, White Castle, not bad. Sliders. I think for some people they can't do it. I love them. There's not a burger I don't really like. As a matter of fact, had two burgers this weekend. One at Culver's and one at Five Guys.
Oh, Culver's is so good.
Do you ever do Five Guys?
Oh, yeah.
Really good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what else is really good at Five Guys is their hot dog with cheese and onions on it too. If you like hot dogs,
I've never gotten it there just because the burgers are so good. Well, I just get the burger.
That's the same way when you go to. You've never ordered anything at Chili's except for the chicken tender plumpers,
the chicken crispers,
Yeah,
because it's the best chicken I've ever had.
Yeah, it's the best chicken I've ever had. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got more calls to get to, emails. It's a blue purple Monday. Tanner B 534. Top of the hour, what do we got?
Yeah, Jimmy didn't make as many buckets last night.
This is a story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Two young lovers with nothing better to do. Than sit around the house, get high and watch
Fan.
Sure, we could fill a couple 13, 14 segments talking about what camp are you in? Dogs, cats, potato, potato, tomato, tomato, Zebco 202, Zebco 404, Crestliner, Alumacraft. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. But there were other fascinating fascinating parts of that game that we'll get into during the 1 o'clock hour. It really was. I was going to say it was a tale of two halves, but really not. It was a tale of one half and about, what about game clock? Did I read that right? Forget how much time, you know, that between the first score and the last score, real time, you know, because there's 30-second play clock that winds down. Mm-hmm. But actual time played, I think Seattle scored like 3 touchdowns in like 2.5 minutes or something like that.
You've got to be kidding me.
And it went from 13-0 to 21-13 like that.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that, and then the Vikings come back. What to make of Cousins? He was, at times, brilliant, I actually thought. There were times he was brutal, but was his brutalness all his fault? I'm not sure, but we'll get into that. But right now, let's do some 5-3-4.
Time now for 5 questions. Well, actually 3, but 5 sounds like more than 4. Question number 1. NFL no huddle.
The Las Vegas Raiders upset the Chiefs 40-32 in Kansas City yesterday. Common, are the Raiders better than we think, or are the Chiefs not as good as we think?
I think the Raiders are better than we think, thank thunk, because I still think the Chiefs are the best team in pro football. But, of course, I'm not paying as close attention to the National Football League as I once did. I think some people would argue Seattle, some might Green Bay. Though Seattle defensively, they're really not particularly considered to be very good, are they?
No.
And Green Bay, are they more well-rounded, would you say?
I would say so, yeah.
The Ravens are pretty good operation,
they're
too.
They're looking really good.
So you could make arguments.
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Who plays tomorrow night.
Weather in Buffalo. I think, isn't Kansas City's defense kind of suspect?
They were yesterday.
Yeah. So
what's suspect is their offensive line. Their offensive line is really bad.
Okay.
Kaneche Asemele got hurt in yesterday's game. I don't know long he's out. Kaneche Asemele.
Did you have to practice that? Because I'd have to practice.
I don't even know if I'm saying it right.
Yeah, let's go with
but,
that.
But Mike Remmers ended up having to take over yesterday, former Minnesota Viking guard. So if you watch the Chiefs, they can still score just because Pat Mahomes and their weapons are so beyond good.
Right.
But they've got no time. The running game can't get going because they can't block, and Mahomes is running for his life all day long. So Kansas City's not as much of a cinch as maybe we think they could. If they fix their offensive line, they'll win the big game.
Then but, you know what? See, here's the beauty of it. You know, people will say, Rosen will go, how can you talk about a game or a team when you didn't even watch? I barely watched Kansas City this year, but from what you just told me about their about their offensive line, I'm now going to change my opinion and say I don't think Kansas City's the best team in football right now. That would be your Seattle Seahawks. I just can't say Green Bay. I can't let the words fall from my lips that Green Bay is the best team in football.
They might be the best.
I know, but I can't say it. I'm not going to do it. At least not for now.
Dak Prescott suffered a gruesome ankle injury in the Cowboys' win over the Giants yesterday. He had surgery, is expected to be out 4 to 6 months. Common, can the Cowboys make the playoffs with Andy Dalton at the helm?
The Red Rifle! Let me guess, it was labeled successful surgery.
Yes.
I don't want this to happen, but I'm waiting for the day, and I'll be waiting a long time, where the doctor comes out and goes, just didn't work. Unsuccessful surgery, he'll never play football again. It's always successful surgery. The Red Rifle was brilliant yesterday. Now, I watched the end of it. That was against an awful football
team. The Giants,
New York football Giants.
Yeah.
But a couple of those throws by the Red Rifle, that last throw down the sideline was a brilliant throw by a great catch. There were back-to-back brilliant catches and back-to-back great throws by the Red Rifle. Look at the Red Rifle. I don't think he's going to the Hall of Fame. He's probably never going to win a big game. He's never going to be considered the best quarterback to ever play the game. But he was pretty good. I mean, he wasn't awful. He won games, and he's put it this way. If you had a choice, Tennessee, let's say Kirk Cousins got knocked out for the year, would you want Sean Mannion or the Red Rifle as your quarterback?
Oh, Red Rifle in a heartbeat.
So that's a nice backup to have. And so,
I saw a tweet yesterday that once Dak went down and said, Andy Dalton is now the best quarterback in the NFC East.
It's probably true, too.
Which with?
Is Dak out for the year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is year.
It was a bad injury.
Okay. because his bone was sticking up.
That's one of those where the, right? Yeah, the foot's going the wrong way.
And
he's up 4 to 6 months.
Bone was sticking out the skin, I thought I heard. But, and when he was, it seemed like he was tearing up. That wasn't, was that sadness or that was pain, wasn't it? Or both?
Maybe both, because he's also playing for a contract. Now, he got his $30 million, whatever it was this year, so... But he's been, up until this year, he's been underpaid for what he's given you because he was a mid-round pick in the NFL draft. He was basically banking on himself, betting on himself to hit free agency and hit that monstrous deal. I still think he'll get...
Kind of like what Odo did for the Twins.
Yeah.
Odo did the same thing.
Kirk Cousins did.
Yep.
I still think he'll get paid, but, you know.
Give the man the raise he so richly deserves.
I agree.
But I like Red Rifle. I don't mind Red Rifle. I just like saying Red Rifle. That's what I mean.
Teddy Bridgewater and the Carolina Panthers are tied for first place in the NFC South after beating the Falcons 23-16 yesterday. Can the Panthers steal the South?
NFL no huddle.
We didn't need them. Who's in the South? Tampa Bay.
New Orleans, who plays tonight against the Chargers. And
Atlanta. Don't sleep on the Falcons. They fired their coach.
They fired their coach, yeah.
Was he the GM, too, or did
they fired the GM as well.
Who was the GM?
Don't know his name.
I don't see why they can't. Again, I'm not paying as close attention to the NFL, the NFC, the NFC South, and the Carolina Panthers in particular, but New Orleans is good, but I don't think they're... unstoppable, nor do I think Tom Brady and Tampa Bay is unstoppable. Brady doesn't even know what city he's in. He thought he had another down to go. Matter of fact, he didn't even go shake what's-his-face's hand after the game, the quarterback, Nick Foles.
Yeah.
I think it's possible Brady thought the game was at halftime. So he's been knocked around a lot. I think Teddy can do it. Yeah, I'll say they can do it. Now, is that crazy? You think they have any chance? Or is that just crazy talk?
I think they can. I think New Orleans will be there. And obviously you can't count on Tom Brady. But you know, Carolina hasn't had the toughest schedule. But I just say, you know, a lot of people have doubted Teddy Bridgewater. He's doing that. They're 3-2, and they don't have their best offensive player in Christian McCaffrey, who's, you know, the best running back in football. So I think it's pretty impressive. They're still moving the football well enough. And Teddy's a winner.
What's McCaffrey's issue? What's his story?
I don't remember his injury. He's supposed to be back in a couple weeks. It's not a season-long injury.
Okay. Well, yeah, so then, you know what? They just have to do a slick imitation of the Paul Allen Project. They just have to keep their head above water, make a wave when they can, and then it will be from temporary layoff to permanent payoff. Good times. Ain't we lucky we got? Yeah.
Tom Brady, by the way, had a brilliant tweet today.
We did.
He said, congrats to my brother, King James, LeBron James. Yep. On winning his fourth championship, not bad for a washed-up old guy. And he has a picture of himself holding his number 4 up, and he's got LeBron James photoshopped on his head.
Beautiful.
Just genius.
It's genius.
Yeah.
It's genius.
Making fun of himself.
Yeah, why
self-deprecating.
Not?
Question number 2.
Speaking of LeBron, him and the LA Lakers beat the Miami Heat 106-93 last night to win their 17th NBA title in franchise history. In the series, Jimmy Butler became the first player with multiple triple-doubles of 35 or more points in an NBA Finals. And through 5 games, he was averaging 29 points, 10.2 assists, 8.6 rebounds, and 2.60 steals. Those are stats no player has ever finished with in a Finals, but numbers did not get so close last night. He finished with only 12 points on just 10 shots. Common, did last night's clunker put a stain on Jimmy Butler's performance in the NBA Finals?
I'm about to say something controversial.
That's interesting.
Jimmy Butler should have been the MVP of the Finals. He should have been named the MVP. Without him, it's a 4-game sweep. There's no talk of hey, can they do it again? He had two triple-doubles in the final, and one of only two players have a 40-point triple-double. It doesn't happen often. It's happened before. I think it may have been Super Bowl 5. Where the losing team had the MVP. Where he was so dominant, even in a losing effort, that they said, he's got to be the MVP. I know it's controversial. Some people would even say it's crazy and chaotic. But I would say, and I would have given Jimmy Butler, if I have a vote, I don't know if the media votes on that, who votes on that, I would have voted why give it to
ESPN studio hosts who have only been doing it for a year, do they get to vote?
Yeah. Think about that. I've only been doing it a year, you know. I would have given Jimmy Butler the MVP award. LeBron is this just in, he's really good. And I'm sure he was. I didn't watch a second of it last night. I knew the outcome before they played. Was he brilliant last night? Did he triple double or something? I'm assuming he was brilliant, right? I'm sure they just looked at each other and said, "What are we doing? Right? This is ridiculous. We're up three games to two against a five seed. We've let a really good player, you know, in Jimmy Butler, and a bunch of a 17-year-old kid who can't shave yet." And Bam Bam, and they've won two games against us. What are we doing? And I think they went in there and took care of business. At one point, I think it was like a 30-point lead.
Yeah.
So the score seemed to be a little closer than the game would indicate.
Question number three.
The Chicago White Sox and manager Rick Renteria have agreed to part ways following the 2020 season. Renteria completed his fourth season as White Sox manager, leading the Sox to a 35-25 record and a tie for second place in the AL Central before losing to the Oakland Athletics in three games in the wild card series. Common, are you surprised the Sox let Renteria go? So, of course, the White Sox had a really good season up until the end when the Twins took over in the last.
Yeah, thank you. Fritos will do that because they crunch a lot and you have to really swallow them before you can start talking.
Yeah.
It said it was a mutual. They mutually decided to part ways. Do we believe that? You know, sometimes when a person is let go, they are. If you want to save face, we'll say you know it was a mutual decision. If you don't want the embarrassment to be fired, I've never been embarrassed by being fired. As a matter of fact, it's a badge of honor for me. I remember. I don't like to talk about myself much when it comes to 5-3-4, use myself as an example or an analogy. I just don't even like to talk much about myself, period. Anybody that listens to the show regularly would understand. Got a job in Wyoming at a radio station there. And the guy I was taking over for, the midday announcer and the community calendar guy, he's the guy that you're responsible every time you get a letter from. And back then, there was no email. So you would just, you'd get in the mail, you'd go through the mail and say, you know, the Boy Scout Troop 13, 14 is having a bake sale, you know, and then you'd have to type that up onto a little index card, put them into the studio so that the disc jockeys would have something. Spinning hot stacks of wax from the top of the racks. Big Piney Boy Scout Troop 13, 14 selling hotcakes. They're having their pancake breakfast. Make sure you're there. This is the latest from Dido. It's called White Flag right here on KMER, right? He was still there. And generally in radio, they never allow you to continue to work. I said, so what's going on? He said, yeah, well, they're getting let go. How come you still working? Well, you know, they said I could keep working. Said, well, you got fired so you can get unemployment. He goes, well, no, I resigned. Well, why'd you resign? Did you not want your job anymore? No, I wanted to keep working. Well, why did you resign then? He goes, well, they told me that if I quit, they would give me a letter of recommendation. I go, do you know that letter of recommendation ain't worth the paper it's printed on? Do you know that if you quit your job, you cannot collect unemployment unless it's extenuating circumstances? He goes, yeah, I guess I can't. I go, I said, foo. I said, whatever you made here ain't going to get you to the grave. Why did I bring this up?
I don't know, but Common bringing up a five-question story making about himself has been brought to you by 360 Painting Minneapolis.
What was the, what was your question? Oh, mutually parted ways. This guy decided to quit it just so he could get a lame letter of recommendation. I said, you might be out of work for 6 months. You can collect unemployment and make hundreds of dollars a month. I think he saw the error of his ways once I explained it to him. It looked like he saw a ghost. A letter of recommendation. Did I tell you that when people would ask me for a letter of recommendation, do you think this is wrong or lazy? I would say, here's what I'll do. You type up what you want the letter of recommendation to say, and if I agree with it, I'll sign it. I don't know what to say about you. Works really hard. No, What kind of image do you want to portray to your next employer? And if I don't agree with it, I'll say, I can't sign this. You say you're the best announcer since Wolfman Jack. You're not even better than Shotgun Ed King. So I can't sign this. But if you just said, John really works hard. He has a good work attitude, really came a long way. And any assignment I gave him, he always took it. I would recommend hiring John. Yeah, that sounds good here, John. I'll sign that. Take it away. I just thought that was the best way to. I just have a different way of approaching pretty much everything, including my lunch. I like to eat while I'm on the air. I hope I answered your question.
And that's it for
to your satisfaction.
Edition of five questions. Well, actually, three questions, but five sounds like more than four.
On the other side of the break, I do want to talk about some just certain phases, plays and series in the Vikings game. Let's talk Vikings football. It's a blue-purple Monday here on The Fan. Let's try to give away some money, Tenneby.
The Fan of Wicks and Jewelers want to give you a shot to put a grand in your hand with our national cash contest. The keyword is cash. Just text it to 200-200 to enter. Standard text message and data rates apply. Cash contest, keyword cash. Text it to 200-200.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
The Fan.
Couple 13, 14 passed here. Here's one of those people hear what they want to hear, and again, they misrepresent. I don't even know where. Here's what he says. Something like, you got to be kidding me. You both spend a lot of time ripping analytics and then use them to defend a horrible coaching decision by Zimmer. I didn't mention anything.
When did we rip analytics?
I didn't mention anything about analytics. I don't care if the analytics said do what he did. I do it. That's gut for me. My decision. I've been making that same decision before there was a thing called sabermetrics or analytics. I was doing this before they had overtime in football, before they changed the onside kick rule, before instant replay. If you have a chance to win the game, you win the game. If I tie the game up with 2 seconds to go and an extra... No, I'm sorry. If I score and I'm down one with 4 seconds to go, I score with 4 seconds left, I score a touchdown, I'm down one. Kick the extra point and go to overtime? You kidding me? I'm there to win the game. Someone else gave me, said, you're defending Zimmer,
quack, quack.
And gave me a quack, quack. It's not, it could have been a Green Bay game, could have been a Detroit game, a Chicago game, could have been a shoe on the other foot, it could have been Pete Carroll. Put Pete Carroll in that same situation. If he makes that call, I back what Pete Carroll does. I'm trying to win football games. I love what the coach said. And remember, I'm not extended family member. I'm not. I get along with the coach, but he's not invited me to his Kentucky farm. Has he invited you?
No.
PA's been there.
Mm-hmm.
Other members of the media.
Nordo's been there.
Nordo's been there. Other members of the media have been there. I've not been there. I've not been invited. We're not tight. We get along. I haven't talked to him in 2 years now. The only time I would ever talk to him is when it would be at the Vikings charity golf event.
Yeah.
And Weston Hagen would bring him over. Because I was told he liked being with the common man because it was a conversation, not an interview. I was actually supposed to get a rim shot there for the cheap shot in Barrero. Because it was a conversation and not an interview. No, because he knew I wasn't going to do the old, you know, what do you think of the team this year? What do you think of our defensive capabilities? We don't talk like that. We ask him about how many dead heads do you got hanging above your fireplace. I'd rather talk about things.
You talk about 7 foot guys in there to block field goals.
Yes, remember I told him get a 7-footer. I think he actually liked the idea. I expect him to do it sometime soon. It's nothing to do with.
When you've never said, "Hey, analytics is hogwash. We shouldn't listen to anything that's."
No, that's true too.
Yeah,
I think what
and especially with game theory, that's when I am all for analytics.
Yeah. Well, analytics and sabermetrics reared its ugly head again during the Twins playoff series. The biblically bad 0-18 now that I was desperately rooting for. Well, I just wanted 0-17. I wanted us right now to be squaring off against who would we be playing right now?
Tampa Bay.
That's what I actually wanted to see Twins-Yankees in the American League Championship Series. How much fun would that have been? But I did want us to lose the first one so we could get biblically bad. But analytics came into play there a little bit, even though we know that it was the lack of clutch hitting, really the lack of hitting at all that did the Twins in. The manager made two decisions, one that I thought I completely disagree with. That was the Berríos one, where Berríos has pitched, I think it was 5 innings, only 75 pitches. And he's showing emotion like we've never seen from him or really anybody. He's walking up and down the dugout saying, let's get it pumped up around
here.
Looks
like a bulldog.
He's doing a common man thing. How many times have you seen me walk around? I haven't done it lately because there's nobody here, but I used to go through that sales area and go, let's pump it up around here. This is a major market radio station. Let's get it pumped up around here. That's what you do when you're trying, not draining morale, you're trying to boost morale and get people pumped up. He can't wait to get back down there and mow down the team again. And what does manager do? Takes out the sabermetrics analytics stuff provided by the Harvard whiz kids, Falvey and Levine, and decides to pull the guy out of the game. And when you're going to rely on not one, not two, but three relievers, what are the chances that all three relievers are going to all be brilliant? Not very good. One of them is probably going to fail, and that's what happened in both games. One of the relievers failed. You lose the game. So what I came to the conclusion was an emailer that sent it. He said, analytics and sabermetrics are good long-term when you're talking about an entire season playing the odds. But once you get to the playoffs or a certain moment in the game, like last night, it's what do I do? And what did the analytics say? Did the analytics say he should have gone?
Well, the analytics would tell you it was basically a coin flip with a slight advantage to going for it.
Okay.
Keeping the ball, going for it and fourth down.
Yeah. And for me, that has nothing to do. I'm not doing that because that's what the analytics say. Somebody brought this up. I read a number of stories on handheld regarding last night's decision making. And one guy sort of kind of compared, I kind of like, let me see if I can get this straight, playing blackjack. Like if you're sitting with a 17 and the dealer's got a 4, you stay, right?
Yeah.
You don't hit that. And there's a chance that all of a sudden 8 comes up and then face comes up and you lose.
Yeah.
Would that lose?
Yes, that'd be 25. Oh, no, you said 17.
I'm 17. I've got 17. It's a 4. Let's say a 7 comes up. So let's say the dealer's showing a 4. And so you're thinking, well, I got 17. He's probably going to bust. 7 comes up. Face comes up. You lose. Well, yeah, but I had to play that odd. That's playing odds, sabermetrics, and analytics. And I guess if you're a card counter or if you just think Moon's in the 7th house, Jupiter lines with Mars, this time the dealer is going to bust. Because generally speaking, he probably will bust if he's showing a 4. He's probably got a face card underneath is the way you play the game. He's probably sitting on 14. He's going to get another face or a 10 or a 9, and he's going to lose. That's what generally happens. But sometimes what happens? The 4 matches up with a 7, and then a face card comes up, and you lose 21-17.
Sometimes the right decision loses.
Right. Sometimes the right decision loses. I thought that was the right decision. Had they gone for the field goal and lost the game, I wouldn't be calling for the coach's head. I would say I didn't agree with the decision. But I've got guts and the people that wanted to let's just go ahead and kick a field goal here and just hope that Russ Wilson doesn't come down the field and score a touchdown and 2-point conversion because he can't do that. I don't think he's not that good, is he? I'm gonna win the game. Go in there, get the line blocked. And if you look at it again, Madison should have broke off right.
Yeah.
It was real simple.
They didn't execute.
They didn't execute.
No.
Well, it plays on the field.
The coaches put them in a position to win the game.
That's exactly what they did. So maybe it's just me. I don't know. Donald, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling. Hey, Donald. Hey, Donald, are you there?
Yes, I am. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. What do you got for us today?
It has to do with, and I see this all the time in the NFL, and that's teams going for two-point conversions when they don't need them, or there's still over a quarter to play in the game. And this one came back to bite the Vikings, where when Adam Thielen scored his touchdown, they go for a two-point conversion, don't get it. And then it leads into the fourth quarter where, you know, a field goal would have just put the Vikings ahead three, you know, I can't remember.
Two scores.
But either way, had they not just kicked the extra point there, and I know extra points aren't a guarantee, neither are field goals, but if they had gone for the extra point in the third quarter, and then when they get to that, where Madison doesn't get to the gets the first down, had they been there, kicked the extra point, and then kicked a field goal, then they would have been up, you know, it would have been a two-possession game.
Correct.
Where Seattle would have had to, you know, run down the field twice in order to win the game, get a touchdown and a field goal. So I think that's what really killed the Vikings on this game, and I don't understand why coaches – decide to go for two-point conversions.
Had they
early.
What if they made that two-point conversion after the Thielen touchdown? What would the score have been after Wilson scored?
I believe 4 points. So
would have been four.
I don't have the numbers all straight in my head right now. I just know they not gotten the kick that extra point in the third quarter, and then. You know,
I get what you're saying. No, thanks, Donald. I get what you're saying. I understand that. You can make that argument. For me, you're barking up the wrong tree. This is a guy that goes for two-point conversion every time. I go for it every time. I accumulate points. Had I been successful on all my two-point conversions after my three touchdowns, that's three extra points I have on the board. That's like if you ever see a bottle of laundry detergent and he said one-third free. Hey, guess what? I got three touchdowns and I got three extra points for nothing. Just because I decided to go for it, I tried to get 2 yards instead of trying to let kicker guy with the clean uniform that I never know what he's going to do, try to kick a 37. Extra points aren't as automatic as they once were.
Well,
37 yards.
And let me counteract that as well. Let's say they kick that extra point. So instead of it being 21-19, it's 21-20.
Yeah.
Because we didn't go for two.
Right.
Well, guess what? What happens when the Vikings score a touchdown the next time? They're now at 26-21, and they have to go for two. So if they would have missed the two-point conversion like they previously missed the two-point conversion, we're at the exact same score of 26-21.
I don't know if that's what you said is right, because I couldn't keep
it
track.
It is right.
But I'm going to go
brilliant.
Anyway, even if it's not. Well, I know it is, but I'm just going to say just in case it's not. Because
they would have had to have gone for two the next time, because you're going to make it a seven-point game instead of a six-point game.
Because let me say something. There have been times where I've asked you for a math solution, and you've screwed it up. Stop. You know, it's happened before. Now, it's rare, but it has happened. But you're right. So, I don't know. It's been controversial. Here's the question I have for you. Whose take will Rosen have stolen when he comes in here at 2 o'clock regarding go for it or not? Whose take does he? Whose take?
Yeah, you know, I don't even know if he talked about it on Twitter last night either. Well, the problem is there's not a consensus on this one. There's not a conventional wisdom. I think it's kind of split 50-50, so he's going to have to... Well, whatever Ben Lieber said this morning.
That's exactly what he'll do. We'll talk to Rosen next, Common Man Program, here on The Fan.
To mine. Whatever happened to our life?
It's an SOS, and here he is. Speaking of an SOS, we're rescuing the floundering Good Ship Comet. And the Tenet Fitzgerald is none other than Admiral Mark Rosen of Channel 4 Sports.
It's like Gilligan's Island here. Yeah.
Is your whole life just sports fame? Today has been, because of last night's developments, what camp are you in?
Camp what? Oh, the fourth down play?
Do you kick a field goal, or do you go for it?
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, this is not going to be a long buildup.
Okay, I'll let you go.
Yeah,
sorry.
I don't want you to just start giving me.
No, I got you. You know when? Let me know when you want my answer.
Are you a dog or a cat guy?
Well, I love both, but I have never. I have so cats. I have cats because I've been, I've had a cat.
I like dogs too. So you don't have to be in a camp.
No, you don't.
See, this isn't a case where you're saying you like dogs and cats.
I do. I just haven't had, because of my schedule and everything, I felt like if I couldn't devote the kind of time it takes.
Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
White wine, red wine, where the hell did I dine?
Red wine, 99% of the time.
Okay.
90% of the time. Depends on what I'm eating, but mostly red wine.
Turkey tetrazzini or chicken cacciatore?
Not a fan of either. Probably the turkey.
Yeah, because with poultry, I don't like a red sauce. I like a white sauce.
Correct.
I like a turkey tetrazzini.
Yes. I like these questions.
Zebco 202 or a Zebco 404? That's the real for fishing.
I have no idea.
Are you a Pheasants Forever guy or a Ducks Unlimited guy?
I've been more of a Laura Delaney guy over the years. I used to cover her all the time, and so I would probably more of a skeet shooting guy. Okay. That's not one of your choices.
Are you more of a Crestliner guy or a Lumacraft? Those are two kinds of.
Yeah, I know what they are.
Wait, are you a
Lumacraft?
A Lumacraft. See, there are different camps.
You can play these games.
12 gauge, 20 gauge. You know, the list goes
right on and on and on.
The list goes on and on.
Sure.
I have a couple of others for you.
Sure.
As well.
I like it.
Tenneby, some of these might apply to you too. Are you on the shoot every chance you get on the power play camp, or wait for the right opportunity to get the shot to get the shot on the power play camp? Which one are you, Tenneby?
Well, there's gray area on these two camps. I'm not going to commit to either camp.
Are you in the long sleeve shirt under your golf shirt camp, or no long sleeve shirt under your golf shirt camp? And I are different there.
I've gone away from that. When was the last time you saw me wear that?
Are you in the joint checking account camp or separate checking account camp?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
See these camps?
Trouble.
Are you in the...
It depends on what my wife wants.
Are you in the best seat in the house camp, or the best of the lousiest, lousiest of the best being the common man camp?
Being the common man, definitely.
What? Okay, that's fine. Play it that way.
Right. I always love that one.
And then finally, in the Manny's dispute, are you in the Mark Parrish camp or the Mark Rosen camp? I have to admit,
who submitted those? Let me guess.
You always think it's Larry Mondello.
I always do. No?
It's not.
All right.
It's another
another writer?
One of the junior staff.
I got it.
For me, I've already stated my case, and I've said it eloquently, and I won't even go into that.
Sure.
I won't go into all the details because I've done that for 2 hours now. Or my reasoning, not so much details, but reasoning. I liked going for the juggler right then. Your thoughts?
Well, I just got done discussing that with Kirk Cousins. Ding. And
kind of give him a little bell.
He, number one, he said it's the most, without question, frustrating loss of his 9-year career. That's how he started out. And he said, look, we had run the ball for over 200 yards. And even without Dalvin Cook, Madison was chewing up yardage. The Seahawks defense was tired. Even on that drive, they were gashing him pretty good. So I'd say, it wasn't in the middle of the field. It was deep in their territory. I go for it because, you know, it's not, and Tenet's explained this pretty well on Twitter. It's a 50-50 call. I get it. I understand the theory, kicking the field goal. You go up by 8, you force them not only go down and score a touchdown, but get a 2-point conversion. But based on Russell Wilson's history, especially this season, he's probably going to put himself and that team in position to do exactly that. I see go win the game. And they have a half yard. They didn't make it, and they still had 95 yards to go.
Right, and you still have a chance in your defense, they twice got him to fourth down.
And not only on fourth and 10, he threw not a 10-yard out to Metcalf, he threw a 40-yard pass.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, look, at a much smaller scale, reminded me of still the aggravation and that everyone has in Minnesota lore about Gary Anderson missing the field goal against Atlanta in the NFC title game. Yes, it would have won the game, would have put the Vikings in the Super Bowl. But the Vikings weren't down, they weren't up by a point. They weren't up by, you know what I mean? It was, mm-hmm. they still had a 7-point lead. Here's an idea. Stop them.
Right.
Stop them. Okay? I understand how deflating it was, but you still had an opportunity to win the game with your defense by simply not allowing Atlanta to score a touchdown.
Correct.
People forget that. So, I mean, you can use the same theory. I mean, this is a team that had Seattle on the ropes any number of times, any number of ways. They were ripe for the upset last night. They suffocated them in the first half, and their running game, even without Dalvin, was performing at a pretty high level. You got a half a yard. It wasn't four and a long one. It was less than that. And so I'd say go for it, end the game. And
I'm with you.
I'll
give you this because I got this from an emailer. Yeah. They think we're doing the ducky.
No, I don't at all. I'm not going to argue with people. I just saw Muss out there, and Muss goes, I kicked the field goal for us. I said, I get what you're saying. I absolutely get what. So they start on the 25 yard line. They kick the ball out of bounds. Russell moves down the field. You know, how much time? 1:40 left. They still had a lot of time to go. I don't want to play for overtime. I heard your theory behind it. I mean, and yeah, I guess I get it. They still have to get the touchdown to convert to.
Right.
But look at their history this year. They've been scoring over 30 points a game.
Right.
And Russell Wilson, arguably along with Aaron Rodgers, one of the best in the game in the final 2 minutes of winning drives. Look at it all the
time. Russ Wilson's the front runner for the most valuable player award.
I didn't know that.
National Football League.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I just
above average at that.
I mean, I hate to say this, but I agree with you 100%. I think you go for it, and then sorry, but your defense, which had played awfully well until they had a couple breakdowns. We get it; they got a young secondary. Still, you put them in a fourth down situation. Yeah. Not
twice.
I'm not talking about twice. Yeah, not on the fourth on the 6 yard line, but
right.
going back,
which
they made a hell of a goal line stand there because they had first and goal at the 7 or whatever it was, and you're thinking they're going to score right now.
Yeah,
and they probably wish they would have because at least the Vikings may have a little more time. But, you know, I don't know. I just think that's the loser's lament is if you're a team like the Vikings and you have them, you know, you don't want to extend the game. Give them a chance to extend the game. You want to win it right there.
It's what Denny said.
Yeah.
The Bears were who we thought we were, and we let them off the hook. They let the Seahawks off the hook is what they did.
They did. They did. And that, again, much like, I mean, the Vikings had had them reeling a little bit, and the 5 minute. I mean, they had that built a 13-0 lead when they maybe could have been more dominant first half, and within a blink of an eye, they were down 21-13. That was like what?
Yeah,
Cousins threw. You know, he tried to throw an alley oop to Justin Jefferson. That was the worst of the interceptions. The other one, his arm got hit. They call that a fumble, but the one to Jefferson was awful. But so was Russell Wilson's pass that was intercepted by Eric Wilson, which pretty much sealed the game. At least we thought it was going to seal
right.
the game. So he had that moment as well. But they were, it's about as good a game as you could play for the Vikings situation, health-wise, defense, young secondary.
Well, it was an entertaining.
It was very entertaining.
I don't know where you stand. I did not. If you would have said to me on Friday,
mm-hmm.
Common Vikings will have a 2-touchdown lead at halftime, and they'll be shutting out Seattle, I would have taken that bet.
Anyone would have.
And that first half was about as good a first half as I've seen the Vikings play in quite some
time. It's clinical.
Offensively and defensively.
Yes.
Offensively, I tweeted this out. It was a Bill Parcells, Mike Zimmer kind of first half. And they threw it a little bit more, I think, than Zimmer actually would really. I think Zimmer would like to run the ball in every play if he could. If he could get 3 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, he'd be all for it.
Yeah.
Then have your defense shut him down, because that's what they did. They had two long drives. How many drives did they? They had, since the first time, since what was the stat they flashed on the screen? Since 2004, it was the first time the Vikings had, was it like, a certain amount of drives of 10 plays or more. It was like 5 or 6 of them. It was just an astonishing number.
Well, first,
every time they got the ball, they just kept picking up first downs.
12 plays, 77 yards in the first drive. 5 different receivers caught passes, none of them named Adam Thielen. You look at the final stat sheet. If you didn't know the final score, rattling off these stats, 31 first downs to 18. Third down conversion, 6 of 14. Seattle did not convert one third down.
Right.
0 for 7. 83 total plays to 52, 449 yards to 314, almost 40 minutes of time of possession to 20 minutes. How do you lose that football game? Well, turnovers and the inability to, you know, to make the big play when it counted the most. So, you know, statistics are for losers, someone once said. But those are the kind of stats that you have when you're a team that's not on paper as good as the other team, that you have as a winning formula. And they had all that going for them last night. And I do give Cousins and the offense credit, because when they Seattle came back and they were about to apply the knockout punch, the Vikings had went on a 97-yard drive. That was impressive, really impressive. And mixing it up, and Irv Smith got into the offense, and the running game, even after Dalvin went out, that was one of the most impressive drives in Kirk Cousins' time here in Minnesota, I thought, because they retook the lead, and then they put the pressure on Seattle. And again, I mean, that was unexpected. Seattle coming back was not unexpected, but the Vikings counterpunching at that point, to me, was. I thought they were done, and they proved us wrong, but then they couldn't finish, unfortunately.
What else one and four.
Yes, sir.
Would have been 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, I don't think you can overstate how important that game was in the win-loss column. You go to 2-3. Now you're on a two-game winning streak.
Correct.
You've just beaten one of the best teams in football. Beat them on the road, which I don't think means as much as it once did, but still, you win the game on the road. Who's next? We get Atlanta.
Winless.
At 0-5 with a new coach, new general manager.
Right.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, you win that game.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're 3-3. You're back to 5-0. Is it Green Bay coming in?
Bye after that, and then after Green Bay.
Yeah. And again, now, again, beating Green Bay would be an awful big mountain to climb. But what if they would have beaten Green Bay? Well, all of a sudden, it's like, now it's a race again in the division. Now at 1-4, even grabbing a wild card spot, I mean, yeah, could you go, you know, mathematically, you can go 12-4. You can go 11-5. You can go 10-6. All those records should get you in. But even to go 10-6 means you got to go 10-2 the rest of the way.
Well, especially with an NFC that is
9-2.
Yeah.
9-2 the rest of the way.
Yeah, especially when you look at, you know, Green Bay and Seattle, I think clearly being the class of the NFC right now. And, you know, the Rams are good. You know, NFC East is a complete disaster. The Bears are 4-1, but I think that's smoke and mirrors, but maybe the Bears will prove us all wrong. They've done it before when they've done it with defense. You go, how is that team winning? I don't understand how they're doing it, yet they find a way. But, you know, you have an NFC. You don't have a dominant, you know, and they proved it last night against Seattle. That was impressive. It was. I mean, I think most people thought they might get blown out. I thought it might be a 3 or 4 point game. That's what I predicted for Seattle. But still, having said that, the offense has gotten better. So after the first 2 weeks, they were okay.
Well,
it's
clearly because of the Jefferson kid, I believe.
Well, he's opened things up.
That's what I mean.
Absolutely.
With Jefferson's emergence as...
No.
Now, last night, what did he end up with catches?
Not
three
many.
Three or four.
Yeah, nothing.
25, 30 yards. Again, it wasn't.
Right.
But still, he takes attention. I guarantee you Seattle was game planning for him.
Mm-hmm.
For that game,
sure they
were going to say, we're not going to let him do to us what he did the last 2 weeks. So when you have now two high-quality receivers, one of the best running backs in pro football, and a damn fine backup. I mean, again, mm-hmm. I probably should have opened, I mentioned this earlier today, with an apology segment to Madison. I never ripped him, but I rolled my eyes, shrugged my shoulders, and shook my head for the people that said, he's a pretty good, I mean, he's not as good as Dalvin, but he's pretty close. I thought, you're kidding yourselves, but he did a really fine Dalvin Cook impression last night. When he got into the game, he was very good.
He was
except
very
on
good.
The last run where he should have broke it outside, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look at the tape, and it's pretty obvious if he'd taken one step to his right, there was a hole there that was sealed by the right tackle, I believe. And again, the Drew Samia issues there. I mean, it's frustrating to hear number 73 holding. I don't know, three times last night and false. It's just, it's aggravating. And they just don't have any solution for that at the moment.
Well, how bad is our second round pick that we're not willing to put him in there in front of Drew Samia?
I think you just asked the rhetorical question, and I don't know how to answer that, because obviously they don't feel confident in that young man to put him in there at the moment with Elfline still out. So,
speaking of Samia, after yesterday's game, the FAA has changed aviation terminology. Something once called a holding pattern is now called a Samia pattern.
There's always one offensive lineman on the Vikings who ends up being the poster child. Used to be Stussy.
So let's say you're flying
McKinney.
Let's say you're
Brian
flying
McKinney,
out of Seattle, and you have to go into holding pattern because of weather.
Mm-hmm.
75 minutes, you got to circle around Minneapolis, St. Paul. The pilot will come on. Oh, we got some weather here. We're in a Samia pattern. We'll be landing here probably, hopefully in about the next half hour or so.
I think people would understand what they're referring to.
I think,
and that's a 6,000-mile flight.
It's a long, long flight. let's squeeze in a phone call here before we go to break. Dave, thanks for calling. You're on the Fan.
Hi, Common. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Thanks, Rosie, for taking my call.
You bet.
I've got a quick question for you guys.
Sure.
We're talking about all the what-ifs and what could-have-beens and what should-have-beens. Am I wrong in being under the assumption that Seattle did attempt a two-point conversion at the end of the game and they failed to make it?
Yes, it did.
So if we get a field goal and they still have to go down and get that, they did not get it.
Right.
I think our chances were better there.
Thanks, Dave. I get your point. No, I get your point, and I thought that same thing and probably should have brought it up. They did go for a two-point conversion and failed, so pretend that is
way different scenario, though.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
All I was going to say is, Let's pretend that that's what happened last night, that we kicked the field goal, they go down and score the touchdown instead of a two-point conversion. As Tennessee just said, it's just different when, I think, execution, nerves, play call, when you're talking about
pressure,
urgency, a two-point conversion just to get up a field goal on the outside chance Minnesota throws a couple of long passes and gets in field goal range to tie the game. Or win it. So, you know, that's why you get, we didn't get it, but we still got the lead, and they still got the lead. They only got 15 seconds to get down the field. Other than, we've got to within two, we're down to one play. Can we convert the 2-point? They might, they might not.
They knew the game was over when they went to go do that.
Correct.
Different circumstances.
I agree 100%. The Vikings missed on their 2-point conversion, you know, when Cousins tried to run up the middle, and that was, again, these points add up. I mean, you can play that game, and I know the way you feel about it, that, you know, like the Mike Tomlin way, just go for 2 points every time, and some people do believe that and think that, you know, but you don't want to be chasing points. At the same time, I still think it comes down to got a chance to win the game, and the defense has a chance to hold them fourth. And oh man, I've seen that play, unfortunately, too many times. The Viking fans has. I go back to remember a Giant, when they played the Giants here one time, there was a 4th and 17. I don't know why I can't get that play out of my mind. And they completed a pass on the sidelines and they went on to win the game. And you see the prevent defenses, they call them. But you know, Dantzler had single coverage there. And I think he thought the ball was going to be overthrown, and his back was completely turned to Metcalf, which is such an unusual situation, visual, when you see a defensive back like trying to catch a ball over his shoulder and thinking, what were you looking at? You're supposed to be eyeballing the receiver there. That was the oddest thing of that play.
I thought he was about to catch it.
I know.
I thought he had an interception. I thought it was overthrown and he was going to get it.
I think he did too.
Yes.
Metcalf's a dude. So, I mean, let's give them some credit. I mean, there's a reason why he's that good. And Russell Wilson is an MVP candidate, maybe the leading MVP candidate, because he has a way.
Yeah, I would call him the leading MVP candidate, far and away, the leading MVP candidate, Russell Wilson, to this point in the season.
Right.
We're just doing the bit. We'll break. We'll come back.
Okay.
I've been nominated for a preposterous statement, and I want to see if you think I should be nominated or if maybe I'm spot on. We'll do that. We'll take more calls and more emails regarding the Vikings' loss to Seattle last night here on a blue-purple Monday right here on the Fan. It's a crying sin. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheels spin. During, I believe it was the first hour of the Grom, could have been the second, I was talking about letters of recommendation.
Mm.
And that there was a time when I was actually a supervisor for a number of disc jockeys. And when they would go their own way, they would often ask for a letter of recommendation.
Sure.
And my response would always be, you write what you want me to say about you, and if I agree,
you'll sign it.
I'll sign it.
Okay.
Received an email, courtesy of the Brad Shaw and Brian inbox, that says, Common, my wife interned at a cancer research lab during college, and the researcher she worked for did the exact same thing you do. When my wife asked for a letter of recommendation, she told my wife to write the letter, and after reading it, signed it.
I I've been in that position a number of times. I usually write one myself. Written one to
you mean Jim Bruton writes it?
Well, Jim Bruton writes it, and then I just put my own signature on it. Right. That's really funny.
Thank you. It was 3 seconds.
I fast forwarded it to him, and then, Jim, would you get something up for this kid?
No, I get it. I don't know what you want me to say about you. What do you want said about you? And if I don't, I mean, if you said, I'm the world's greatest disc jockey, I'm the best thing since Shotgun Ed King, I'd go, I can't sign that. You're not the best thing since Shotgun.
Well, I think they show up on time. You know, you're always asking what else I can do. There's a little extra effort. Those things as a boss or someone observing him would be a better position than the person himself or herself to acknowledge. That's all.
Subject line, peak common on a Monday. Guys, I turn on KFEN because I need to know what's going on in the world of sports, sports, sports. Instead, my ears are confronted by a wild, circus-like mix of words and concepts and ideas that would make the Cheshire cat blush, dodging and dipping in and out of ideas, concepts, tracks and trains of thought that just don't quite line up. It's like when you assemble one of those plastic train tracks for a little toy electric Christmas train, and you make the track really twisty and cool, and then it doesn't quite lock into a full loop, but you just jam it in anyways and run the freaking train. If it snags up on the bad link, you just readjust and keep on trucking. Love the Grump, Sam. I guess I would describe the Grump.
That is quite the well-written prose there.
He's confronted by a wild circus-like mix of words and concepts and ideas, dodging and dipping in and out of ideas, concepts, tracks, and trains of thought that just don't quite line up. He's right.
Can't argue with him.
I plead guilty to that. Here's the PST.
Okay.
Lakers win the franchise's 17th world championship last night. They blow Miami out. The final score was much closer than the game.
Yeah, I didn't chance to see any of it.
They were up by 30-plus points.
I saw the score at halftime. I figured they were getting sized for the rings at that point.
Tennessee asked me about MVP of the series or something, I don't recall. And I said, LeBron James won the MVP. Mm-hmm. I suggested that Jimmy Butler should have been named the MVP. It's happened before. Chuck Howley, Super Bowl V, losing club, two interceptions and a fumble forced.
Yep.
Dallas lost to the Colts, but they gave the MVP award to Howley as the loser. I had two responses. One says, Common, nominate yourself for a PST. Give the MVP to a guy who lost in 6 instead of 4. You might be able to make the case if it was a 7-game series and game 7 is an epic battle where Jimmy is clearly the best player but comes up short. Tom from Columbia Heights. While another says, I agree with you that Jimmy Butler should have won the MVP for the reasons you stated. Going into the series, he wasn't considered one of the NBA's elite players, yet he performed better than the best. Why can't the Wolves ever find a player like that? I know it's a stretch, but I thought that most people thought that would be 4-0, 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, you're a cute player, you're good, but he had not one but 2 triple-doubles, including there's only been 3 40-point triple-doubles in the history of the NBA Finals, and he had that.
I think you make a good argument. I know that it goes against all logic in terms of how they address
that's the esoteric report.
Correct. And I agree in principle, because without Jimmy Butler, Miami doesn't even get to the finals. They don't beat Boston. And they certainly don't compete with the Lakers.
No.
And I think the fact that that one game itself, when he willed them to win, one of the best performances I've ever seen in a finals game, ever. And that, correct. I mean, that shouldn't be enough. But, you know, LeBron is... I'm seeing the problem with LeBron, but because he's, you know, going from, and he did. He did it in Cleveland, came back to Cleveland, won a title, went to Miami, and he put together his super team, went to L.A., recruited Anthony Davis. You know, and you can't argue the man's skill level, what he's done, and at the age of 35 continues to shine at a level that, you know, you can argue is one of the top 3 players of all time. But I think in this series, I mean, I know why they didn't give it to him, but I don't disagree with your thinking behind it, because he was it. I mean, especially after the injuries that Miami incurred to 2 of their starters, and they still won in spite of their losses. That in itself was an MVP performance. So I get where you're coming from. It's probably never going to happen because the writers vote on it, who are covering it. I don't even know who votes on MVP, but you know, it's almost an automatic. It's the same type of thing with the Super Bowl. You give it to the quarterback almost every single time.
Correct.
And you met Chuck Howley. Did he get the? I forgot that he won
got the MVP in the
Super Bowl.
In the Super
Interesting.
Bowl.
Well, there's not many players outside of, you know, the Bradys and the Mannings and the, you know, let's just go down the list that that win that Brett Favre to win the MVP award. And, you know, you can make an argument for a lot of other players on those teams, especially in a real team, 11-man and offense and defense, that you can pick out a lot of different players that could win MVP in the Super Bowl.
Okay, before I get too far behind, sure. I got to take a break. I got a bunch of phone calls I want to get to. We have Judy, Luke, Charlie, Panic Button Guy, Larry, Moe, Curly Joe, Bob Carroll, Ted, and Alice.
That's a lot of calls.
We'll get to all of those calls, I promise. Other side of the break, Common Man Program with Common, Tenneby, and Mark Rosen right here on The Fan. Never change things that I feel. Guests. There must be some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the thief.
There's too much confusion.
I can't get no relief. A couple 13, 14 passed here on the Common Man Program. Before we get to the calls, one thing we haven't addressed yet, Dalvin Cook injury.
Yes.
Pulls lame, first play of the second half, groin.
Right.
Leaves, comes back, decoys one play, out again, MRI. Two questions for you. Have the results of the MRI been
disclosed?
And two, do you think they might regret a five-year, $63 million contract for a player that has been injury-prone, and now he comes up with another injury, and groins aren't very...
To answer your first question, no, that the best of my knowledge, they have not been released. Mike Zimmer has not held his normal Monday news conference yet. Is that later today?
Is he holding it at all?
I thought it was at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, 4:30, I think.
4:32.
It'll be under Barrero.
Yeah, the late arrival. I don't, you know, and knowing Zim, I don't, you know, maybe he will.
As long as Thomason doesn't ask the question.
Look, it's only, and we saw him try to come back and play in one play, and he aggravated it. Yeah, I would be surprised, but you never know. I'd be surprised, given the fact that the Vikings have a bye week after this, that he would play against Atlanta, you know, unless he makes a real speedy recovery. Maybe it's not that severe, but it's the type of thing that can linger. So I think, you know, safe than sorry. And no, I know what you mean by that.
They emphasized on the television broadcast last night two or three times that Dalvin said, I want to prove my durability.
Yes.
He worked really hard. He worked really hard to improve his durability.
Yeah.
And then, boom, the injury left.
Well, and that could be a freakish thing. I don't know. I mean, I asked Cousins about it. Did it appear to you that he slipped because it was, you know, raining pretty much steady mist all game? Mm-hmm. And the field was slippery in places. So, you know, he easily could have come in. He threw the little flare pass to him.
Correct.
And he took one step, and you could tell he was in a lot of pain. So, you know, those groin pulls are different, and people can recover from them differently. And he tried to come back, and I'm just going to get treatment all week. But without knowing what the results are, if he didn't tear anything, he gets the week off and then come back against the Packers in Green Bay a week from Sunday. But, you know, that's all we know right now.
One last email before I get to the calls.
Okay.
Oh, no, that's not what I wanted to do. It is really one last email.
No. Okay.
No, really, just one last email before the calls. And this kind of sums up how I feel. Sideline play call. This emailer says, I'm not a Zimmer guy at all. In fact, I don't honestly think he's a good head coach. But he made the right call last night on fourth down. They were marching up and down the field on the Seahawks. They only needed a yard, not even, and they were within spitting distance of the goal line. You go for it. They just happened to come up short on this one play. And with Wilson and how he can perform, you need to make it a two-possession game when given the chance. Just my opinion. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and lost in the shuffle.
Spitting bit distance, get it, close it out, go for the juggler, end it.
Keep in mind, and lost in the discussion, the controversy about that, was the play before. They had a 3rd and 4 in the 9, and they gave the ball to Thielen on an end-around. And, think how close Thielen was to getting that first down. I mean, it was, and you know what a good athlete Adam Thielen is, and it's a good call, I thought. Let him run it, and he came within, as we saw, an eyelash of getting the first down. I mean, we're concentrating on Madison was short. Thielen was was the one who really had a chance the play before to knock him out. And he, you know, you got to give credit to Seattle's defense, which was, you know, was backpedaling pretty much, you know, the entire drive, the entire time. And he came up just short. So there were really two chances
The
Vikings had in that last drive. Thielen's run and then Madison's run.
Let's take a phone call from Luke. Luke, thanks for calling the program. What do you want to talk about?
I was just going to talk about the Vikings, and sometimes I feel kind of shy doing it with Rosie on there. Love you, Rosie. And thanks for taking the call, guys.
Hey, man.
But my thing is Kirk Cousins. Like, here are the facts. 7-31, 7-32 versus winning teams in the career as an NFL quarterback. I don't see us getting out of this hole. He's not like he can't throw an accurate throw once in a while and ABC. But we are not going to get far with Kirk Cousins as the quarterback. And I think, you know, who makes these decisions, I don't know. You guys tell me. But
we
extended everybody,
sure.
And I think we're stuck, in my opinion. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say.
All right, thanks.
I don't think I think a lot of people agree with you. Kirk Cousins put himself in a position that few NFL quarterbacks do, and that's going on the free agent market. A lot of times they get the franchise tag and they're not able to go anywhere. He was on the open market. The Vikings were looking for a quarterback. They signed him, as we all know, and you can't begrudge Cousins taking the money. The Vikings made the offer. They were aggressive going after him. I do begrudge the Vikings extending him. I think they put themselves in a position with the salary cap and everything else going on that they're locked in pretty tight right now to Kirk Cousins. And, you know, you surround yourself with the right people, as we saw last year, making the playoffs, you know, Cousins leading him on that last drive in New Orleans to beat the Saints, to put him in a position to go to the NFC divisional playoffs again. So you can see what he can do at times, but everything's got to be right. And I think the loss of what makes Kirk Cousins a better football player, a better quarterback, is when you have a Danielle Hunter, when you have an Anthony Barr, when you have a defense that can stop people and put them in better position to shorten the field. All those things have to be in place because Kirk Cousins normally is not going to go out and win games for you in the clutch. I mean, I just don't see it either. I know what you're saying, and I work with him every week. I think his limitations are obvious. I think he can be really good at times. And we saw it last night. He went on a 97-yard drive. I mean,
there were moments last night he was brilliant.
He looked he throws the sideline ball really well. I mean, he can make the passes. But I think at times he still gets – when he tucks that ball down in the pocket, there's no escapability. You know, we see the other quarterbacks. I don't even mean the Russell Wilsons of the world. I mean guys who aren't as a fleet of foot. But he makes that mental decision to tuck the ball in, and there's no getting out of it at that point.
Right.
He's gonna take the sack, or you know, he's not even gonna throw it away. I think those are the things you see.
Coming in the Vegas Raiders KC game, the Raiders had the ball, went for it on fourth down and a yard, and made it. And they were up 8 points, exactly like the Vikings game. They made it, and everybody's praising them.
Mm.
I don't know if that was a fact or not, but it sounds like a pretty similar situation. And it worked for the Raiders, and people are raving about what a gutty this is.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is how it works, too.
Yeah, and again, that was, Kansas City was, lost the game in over a year. They were due for one of those. Again, it shows that their defense is vulnerable. I mean, the Vegas Raiders are a fun team to watch. They're schizophrenic. They can beat the world champs one day, and then they'll lose to, you know, name your team. I don't want to go as far as the Bengals. They probably aren't going to lose to the Bengals, but they're all over the map, but they're capable of doing exactly what they did yesterday.
Here's a phone call from Charlie. Charlie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
So it was about last night's game. So we've all talked about, like, the decision on fourth down to go for it, whatever, then the failed two-point conversion earlier. But I'm curious why the Vikings didn't go for two after their final touchdown with Thielen. The touchdown and the extra point put them up by 5, and
21, yeah.
There would have put them up by 7, or 6,
mm-hmm.
would have made more sense to me. And then at the end of the game, kick a field goal instead of go for it. You're up by 9.
Yeah,
yeah. I think other people floated that idea.
Thanks, Charlie.
I don't know what kind of chart Zimmer would have to answer that. You know what kind of chart he has? All coaches do to say, you know, these are the things under these circumstances I'm going for 2. You know they have it. And Kubiak weighs in on it as well. And circumstances, maybe of the game in particular, look at it. But they pretty much have a flow chart to say when you go for 2. And I agree with you. I think they should have gone for 2 at that point. But then again, I'm like Common. I think you go for 2 a lot more. And they have really, Teddy, you brought up, they have a, this is really for the first time, not that he hasn't missed a field goal or two, but Dan Bailey gives the Vikings and the fan base, I think for the first time in a long time, less anxiety than kickers and going back, as you mentioned, Tennyson's Ryan Longwell. He's been pretty sure-footed, and he did it, you know, last night in the rain, they got a pretty reliable field goal kicker right
now. This wasn't me mentioning that, so I think you're sourcing somebody else.
Really? I thought you were. I thought
maybe, no. I'd love to take credit for it.
Well,
but
okay. I've read someone that...
Probably meat sauce.
No, believe me, it wasn't meat sauce.
It could have been.
No, I'm not that fascinated with him anymore.
Yeah. No, really?
Probably Lieber.
It wasn't Lieber. Somebody else. I don't know who it was. I thought it was you.
Here's Panic Button Guy. You're on the fan.
Yeah, hey, guys. Well, yeah, Common, you know my role within the Commonwealth. I hold the launch codes, right? I mean, I'll tell the fan base when it's okay to press the panic button. And I'll be honest, I don't know if there's energy in the room to press a panic button. I mean, I think personally, panic assumes that there's some sort of emotion left and something left on the line. And I just think it's pretty clear here after the first few weeks that there's just no energy left in the room for fans. And I think... I think you got to step back. If there's any panic button to press, I think it's you step back and look at the big picture and go, is the Zimmer-Cousins era, have we kind of just maxed it out? Like, mm-hmm. We kind of are what we are. We'll show flashes from time to time, but ultimately in prime time when the lights are bright in big, big spots, it's we fall flat. And I think we kind of are what we are. So it's kind of an apathetic panic button push, I guess. And I guess, you know, if you're going to have an off year, let it be 2020. There's no fans. There's a lot going on in the world. So maybe 2020 is the most ideal year to have an off year. And then I'll close with this comment. You guys have been talking about analytics most of the show. When you're 235 out on a par five, you go for it. You lay up. When do you pull out the analytics
on that?
I'll hang up and listen. Love you guys so much.
Right, thanks. Well, my problem is I can't hit a ball 235 anymore. That also depends on the situation, too. It depends if I have a chance. I'm a riverboat gambler. Because my rounds of golf don't matter in the big picture, I'm not winning anything, I'm not getting a trophy, I would always go. I've never met a sucker pin that I didn't fall in love with, so I just go for it. I would try.
Why not?
I would try to get home in two. I get his point, though. There are times.
If you've got Russell Wilson's accuracy,
yes.
then you go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting back to, I thought it was a great call. I think... What I've detected, and of course, with COVID, we haven't been allowed to really be around the players at all this year. They don't have, the Everson Griffins of the world and some other players, even in recent times, Diggs had that fiery personality. You know, we just had a wonderful interview with Eric Wilson, just a terrific guy, really cool dude, man. And there's a lot of the same kind of personalities on this football team. And I don't know where that fiery internal leadership comes from, where you have that same mantra after a loss. You know, we're on the right track. We'll go back to work. We'll look at the film. We're trying to get better. And the offense has gotten better. The first 2 weeks were abject failures, but they've gotten better and hopefully will continue to get better. But I think there's a sameness as a professionalism, which is fine, but I think they're lacking a couple of those leaders. I mean, back in those days, I'm not going back to the 70s. I'm talking about the Johnny Randalls, the Eddie McDaniels, the Morrises and the Christies and the Stuceys, and those guys were just crazy, but they funneled it into an energy in that room that was palpable. And I don't see that. Maybe it's more corporate right now and players got other things going on. And I don't know how you associate that. I'm not saying there's not a will to win because they want to win, but just a different feel. And I get where he's coming from. The Zimmer thing, that's going to be up to them to decide what's acceptable after the season is over. And it is an unusual season for all the reasons he mentioned.
Here's a phone call from Jay. Jay, you're next up on the fan. What's up?
How's it going, guys? I agree with you that we should have went for it. So. Mm-hmm. But I just had a couple comments. First one was the very first fumble that got stripped from Cousins. That was a fumble. But what I don't know, maybe you guys saw it too. When the ball was on the ground, nobody recovered it right away. They were blowing the whistles, but then they still ended up giving it to Seattle. They pushed it back to the 15. It was the one where he ran into the end zone.
Right.
They said no, stopped at the 50. I don't understand. They blew the whistles. It shouldn't have been Seattle's ball. And then the second comment is they threw Harrison Smith out for hitting the guy helmet to helmet last week. And Flowers destroyed what was Irv Smith yesterday.
Absolutely.
And it took him about 10
10 minutes, they even decide they want to throw a flag, and the guy never got thrown out. So that's all I got for you guys.
Yeah, it's
he's right. I mean, that was a that was as egregious as whether either one was intended. I don't think Smith's was intended. I don't think the guy last night was intended, but it was the same result.
Yes.
Helmet to helmet contact. If you throw Smith, you should have thrown that guy. I don't know what. Whoever makes the decision to either just call it a 15-yard penalty or throw a guy out of the game, I don't know what goes into that thinking.
Well, my understanding is when Smith got thrown out, somebody in New York made that call.
I mean, okay.
That the player, the flag was thrown, but
maybe the game was too late at night for
maybe they went to sleep. They didn't have the replay official in New York. But I agree 100% on that one. The other one, Cousins, you know, didn't think. I mean, there may have been a whistle blown, but look, if there's a loose ball in the field, your job is to fall on it and don't assume anything.
Correct. Here's a phone call from Richard. Richard, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Sorry to catch you so late before you go, but I just had it, Mark, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
On that fourth and one, we just ran 97 yards down their throat.
Right.
Right? With Madison. So I totally agree. Go for the win. Mm-hmm. You're in Seattle. What do you have to lose? You're
1-3.
However, what side did we go to the whole way down the field?
Left side.
So if we get into Zimmer's head, is he trying to fool the other team by going right? Because what was that guy's name on Seattle side? Reed, is that his name? He was tearing up our inside guy the whole game.
Yep.
And every time we went right, he was all over him, right?
The defensive tackle made that play, correct, on that last.
I'm thinking the fool goes left on that play. That's all I'm thinking. I just want your comments. I'll hang up.
I mean, I don't know the X's and O's and what they saw, what Kubiak saw. Let's face it. If you look, anyone looks at that replay, and Madison knows this. He took one half step to his right. There's a hole there. All he has to do is fall down, and he gets the first down. I mean, even someone tackles him at that moment. He just ran right smack in the middle of the thick of the defensive line at that point, and not taking that half step to the right. So. You can analyze it any way you want, but you know we wouldn't be discussing this at all if Alexander and just took one half step to his right, he falls down and gets a first down. So that's Vikings football.
Jason's our next call. We'll squeeze in a couple more if we can. Jason, you're on the fan.
Thanks for taking my call again, guys. I'm not going to sit here and talk about the one single play because it's been beaten to death.
Correct.
Right.
The one thing that I will say about the single play. If they would have did maybe play action pass, might have fooled everybody. But the point that I want to bring up, and I don't want to put any blame on anybody, but it's definitely some responsibility, and I think it's on the coaching staff. If they adjusted their halftime adjustments in the third quarter, I know they went 3-and-out on the first drive. Seattle did.
They did.
But if they wouldn't have gave up 21 points in the third quarter, we wouldn't be talking about the
play.
That's
true, too.
Don't turn the ball over.
It's a consistent thing to where their halftime adjustments, they try to make them, but it seems like they can't make them fast enough. And if they fall behind, and then it's panic.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
And let's give Seattle some credit. You're not going to shut them out. They're averaging over 30 points a game. And after they did stuff them on the 3-and-out to open the third quarter, the Vikings gave it right back to them. And then Wilson did his thing and threw a couple 20-yard and 20-yard passes, and they're on the board. And you're not going to – then you get the turnover. That's where everything changes. You know they're going to score, but they give the ball to Seattle on the 15-yard line. That's not an adjustment. That's a turnover. They handed them on a platter the second touchdown, and then they did it again on that pass to Jefferson. So the two turnovers absolutely killed the Vikings early in that second half. That's the adjustments that they made were not turning the ball over.
They got to make sure at halftime against Atlanta they go to Drew Samia and say, don't commit any penalties in the second half.
Correct.
Kirk, don't throw the ball in the opposing team's hands.
Last thing for you, at 1-4, pitchers and catchers report, right?
Well, if you're looking at the playoffs, probably. I think this is looking at their schedule. I don't know. Maybe they'll win 6 games.
I don't know. Maybe more than 6. Tim, you got the schedule there?
They might. They have a pretty good run of 3 straight against that home yard.
We got Atlanta here coming up.
Right.
We're 2-4.
Bye week at Green Bay.
2-5.
Home to Detroit.
That's a win.
3-5.
At Chicago.
They don't win there.
4-5.
Home to
play Dallas without.
Yeah, home to Dallas, home to Carolina, and then home to Jacksonville.
5-5, 6-5, 7-5.
Wow.
At Tampa Bay,
8-5.
Home to Chicago.
9-5.
At New Orleans.
10-5.
What? At Detroit. Go!
11-5. That's my prediction.
All right. I'm writing this down right now.
Write it down. 11-5. We're down in the playoffs.
October 12th. Common says they make the playoffs.
Thank you. Appreciate that. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Tenneby, thanks for having me.
Hey, great job.
You did a bang-up job as well. Great job in the montage again, Montage Man, Master. Thanks for enjoying. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. Enjoy the rest of your day. Stick around. Big Ticket JG next right here on The Fan.
Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon. And good night, Minnesota.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever you are.
Cam Dantzler, what are you doing?
Listen back to any of Common Man's programs by podcasting on the iHeartRadio app or KFAN.com.
KFAN. Total.